Corinthians, chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. I think I know why the people didn't show up, because it's the teaching of the giving. Oh, giving. And Jeremy's first week was talking about money. Now guess what? He's back here and we're talking about money again. And Jeremy's thinking, that's all they talk about, money. Actually, Jeremy, that's not all we talk about, you know? Yeah, whenever you're here, we talk about money. You're leaving again? Okay, let's start. What item would you say that it talks about your life story more than anything else? What item in your life that will talk about your life story more than anything else? Would that be, huh? Your closet dining room. How about the photo album? Would that talk about it? Photo album? What about journal? What about diary? A lot of people think about that kind of thing, but they would leave one thing behind, checkbook. Because a checkbook will explain to us a whole lot more than anything else, because it can show our lifestyle, value, and priorities. And also, it can be a good gauge where our spiritual walk with Christ is. Why do I say that? Because Jesus talks about money quite often. As a matter of fact, one-third of his parable in all four Gospels talks about stewardship, principle of stewardship. And that's not the only thing he talks about. He talks about the greed we have. And his concern is not about money. His concern is about our condition, our motivation in our heart. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6 is just one verse. You guys know this by heart. As soon as you see it, you'll know. Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever the amount of money you spend most, or frequently, or you emphasize, that's where your heart is. If you spend money on buying guns, like somebody I know, then that might be your thing. Or you go out, buy the car's parts, Mazda, or, you know, that kind of thing. Knickknacks. Yeah, there's somebody here doesn't know when to stop buying the knickknacks. And maybe that's where your heart is. I'm not saying that nothing is wrong to have a hobby, but when that thing takes over, that's a different story. And let me tell you this side story. I know a person. Don't look around, because that person is not in our church. This family has a really lot of money. But giving money to that person claimed to be a Christian, but giving money to God become terrible things. They're a little shiver before they give money. But spending $300 for the placemat is not a problem. Something is wrong, isn't it? I mean, it's just a piece of the fabric placemat. She would spend $300. But giving money to God, God's work, she said, no way, I don't have money. Something is not right. If that person is called herself as a Christian. Most detailed passage about giving is recorded in chapter 8, chapter 9, and 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Primary reason why the Paul addressed about this topic is the false teachers in Corinth accusing Apostle Paul that he pocketed money for his own. And originally, Apostle Paul in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians said, why don't we collect money so we can send money to the Jerusalem for our believers in Christ Jesus who are suffering because of the poverty they have. And there's several reasons why they are in poverty in Jerusalem. Number one, they were kicked out of the trade guild, just like the Macedonian people. They got kicked out of the trade guild because they don't worship idols, and they have nothing to do with worshiping idols or producing idols. And also, they went through famine, and they went through persecution, so they couldn't hold a job in Jerusalem. So they are poor. So Corinth people who are wealthy, and they said, Apostle Paul said, why don't we put money together and send it to them? There was a pledge they made about a year ago. And what happened after a year ago? Year after? Nothing. They started nicely, but they are not finishing it. So Apostle Paul is reminding them about their pledge, and they should finish it. So what Apostle Paul, since his integrity was challenged, he picked up the pen and started writing to these people, some Corinth people, and about his defense. We found that in chapter 1, verse 12. Now he is going to explain to them more about it with the example and the comparison with Jesus Christ did for us. And we will find that the Macedonian church people and what they did for the giving. And before we go there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking you to open our heart to receive. This is a rather difficult subject for a pastor to speak about and people to receive because it's been so abused. Open our heart to receive the way you intended, not as man, from the Holy Spirit. And once we receive, let us live according to your way, not our way. So that we may glorify your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, on beyond their ability, they were freely giving, freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saint, and not only as we have hope, but they, underline next phrase for me, please, they first gave themselves to the Lord. That is the one I'm going to ask you to underline. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. Okay, let's take a look at this map first. Maybe I made it too light. Okay, this is the Turkey area, can you see? And here's Greece, I guess, yeah. Thank you. It can be divided northern and the southern area. This is known as Achaia. Can you see, Jenny? This is known as Achaia. That's known as the southern side of Greece. And the northern side is known as Macedonia. So Macedonia is not a city. It's a region. Northern region of the Greece is known as Macedonia. And there's three well-known cities from our knowledge. You guys know Berea. The people known as Berean, they compare the word, they compare what they heard from the Apostle Paul against the word. Thessalonica, of course, we get the book Thessalonian. And Philippi, and we get the book Philippian. This is the three major city of the Macedonian. And down here, there's a Corinth, there's Athens. That's the capital city of the Greece. All right. Having said that, this is the region area that we find. And Macedonia is more than one church. It's three churches, especially the Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, combine them together. Apostle Paul is raising money, as I said before, and to help the Jerusalem saint. When we read the Bible, I don't know about you, this is my problem. It doesn't really click with me because it's an ancient city. It's 2,000 years old, and somehow it doesn't click with me because it doesn't have a whole lot of relevance with me. So I was kind of thinking about, well, wonder how many people is going to react to that thing. And when I thought about it, the Lord gave me this illustration, which really makes sense. How many of you guys remember Rodeo Cheddar's fire a couple of years ago? Everybody knows that, right? If you lived in Arizona, it was a big fire. Let's say another big fire is happened within Arizona. And our church decided we're going to help that church at that wildfire victims. So we're going to start, made a pledge, and we're going to send the money to them. And then we got sidetracked, and we forgot about it all of a sudden. And what happened? We don't even remember what we're supposed to do with them. And we just go on with our own things. However, our brothers and sisters in New Creation Drug Rehabilitation Center in Nogales, Mexico, they haven't forgot about it. Okay, this is a story. It's not really happened. Then what they did is what they were selling cookies. They really make a little cookies, and they sell. And whatever they can produce, a little money they can produce, they send that money to us. And asking us is forward that money to the wildfire victims. How would it feel? Right? That's the case in point. Macedonian peoples are really poor. The reason why they're poor is Roman Empire came to this Greek area. Of course, Alexander the Great is gone, long gone, and Roman Empire took over this Greece area. And when they did that, this Macedonian area was wealthy, but they took all the wealth out of that region. And then, not only that, of course, this Christian people, as I said before, because they are now worshiping the idols, and they are rejected from trade guild. It's like a union. If you are not part of a union, guess what? You cannot work in a certain area. Like a California, in Arizona State, you can work here, and whether you're a union member or not. But in California or some other state, you cannot work. This is a case in point, guys. Macedonian people, they didn't have money, but they are willing to save money and collect money and send their money to the Jerusalem people. But the Corinth people who have a lot of money, they are not willing to share. What's the problem? They forgot. And they chose not to. So that's the illustration I came up with. Obviously, the Lord. It said of the Macedonian people, they didn't just go through affliction. They, according to what we just read, create trial of affliction. That means a trial after trial after trials of affliction. And if that's not bad enough, it said a deep poverty. There's a good word for in our English, dirt poor. They were literally dirt poor. And even though they are dirt poor, they are willing to help other people. Their circumstance did not hinder their giving. And, you know, this brings it to another formula that I cannot comprehend. And computer cannot comprehend. This is the formula. Great affliction they had, plus deep poverty, plus grace they learned from God, equals abundant joy and abounding liberality. Because they have abundant joy and abounding liberality, they are willing to share what they little have with other people. I've seen some saints who are truly exercising this philosophy. They learn and they want to share. And there are some people, without apology, I will say this. There are some pew potatoes. Okay? You heard the word couch potatoes. This is pew potatoes. They will take the spiritual food over and over and over, week after week, and they will not share that thing with anyone else. They will not talk about the grace of God. They will not talk about the salvation through Jesus Christ with anyone. Why?
Because I'm scared.
Duh. Is that difficult? Hand them a bulletin. There is four spiritual laws written inside. If you don't know how to talk, you can talk. The bulletin itself will talk. It's a matter of decision. Are we willing to share the wealth we receive from Jesus Christ, the richness we receive from Jesus Christ? Macedonian people are willing to give, and without prompting by the Holy Apostle Paul. To them, it's not an obligation, folks. This is a privilege. Sharing with other people is a privilege. So they were pleading. Let me ask you this. When was the last time the church congregation begged to the pastor if he's willing to take an offering? None, right? Usually, church pastor has to push them around quite enough, then otherwise they will not give. It is known fact that less than 10% of church congregation take care of all the expense for the church. And less than 10% of the church congregation serve the rest of the congregation. Looking around in this place, just about everyone who are involved in the serving. So I'm preaching to the choir. Yes, I know that. It was not the dollar amount God is concerned about. It's the motivation. It's the motive behind the heart. Some people might put a lot of money in it. But is that with a willing heart? Is that to make themselves known and make themselves feel good about it? Good stewards have a willing heart. When we give ourselves fully to the Lord first, and it is not difficult for us to heap our times and talent and our resource to in God's work. When we have a tight fist, that's the problem. It's more than problem. It's not the problem. Is not holding that wallet tight. You know what it is? The money is holding us tight. We are ruled by the money. Let me make it this way. Money is not a problem. Greed is the problem, as we know. Money makes a great, listen carefully, please. Money makes a great servant when we use that money wisely for the glory of God. However, money makes a horrible, horrible master when we are owned by that money because of our selfishness. Let's go and continue in verse 6. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Unlike Macedonian, the poverty-stricken believers, the current people are well-to-do, and these people really are doing well. However, they forgot the principle, one important principle. Those who are received abundantly are required abundantly too. Let's go to chapter 12 of the book of Luke. Chapter 12 of the book of Luke, 48, verse 48. Luke 12, 48. You there yet? But he who did not know that yet committed things deserving of the stripes shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, remember that place, much is given, from him much will be required. If we receive a blessing, a lot from God, then we are much required. That means we are responsible for that, all the blessing. And some of you say, well, I don't have a whole lot. Then you have less required. If you get a lot of blessing from God, then you are required to use that money wisely. Let's think about our own stewardship habit for a moment. Obviously, you're committed to the Bible study. You're committed to the Word of God. So you come here on Thursday night. And you come Sunday morning. Your Bible might be filled with a note. And you might do the prayer and evangelism. And you really want to share the Word of God with everyone. Great. What about your wallet? If your wallet is willing to share it with God? A lot of people say, well, not a problem. I will share with my wallet with God. But actual time to give, all of a sudden they have a gun shy. And some people said, I cannot afford to give to the Lord. And I usually tell them, you cannot afford not to give to the Lord. Because if you don't, you're the one who's missing. Remember this, please. As I said before, majority of you are serving in the church, so it's a moot point. To make the point, let me just say this. Those who are not serving in the body of Jesus Christ does not understand the blessing of serving. Just like that, those who don't give to the work of God does not understand the blessing of giving. They really don't understand. Because while they give, they are the one who is blessed. Let's continue in verse 8. I speak not as the commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Paul is quick to point out that it's not a demanding that the Corinth people should share it with their wealth with the Jerusalem people. But he is reminding them the grace and the sacrificial love that Jesus Christ have shown to them. That should motivate them in sharing. See, if you notice, there's a subtle contrast we just read. Macedonian peoples are very poor, but yet they act like they are rich people. They want to share. Now, Jesus Christ, who was rich, and for your sake he became poor in verse 9, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, what did Jesus do? Is he God? Was he God? Yes, he was a God. And he is God. He will be God forever. Now, he had all the riches in his glory. There's nothing needed. He needed it. However, he set aside, he made himself less than an angel. He took the body of human. And then, if that's not bad enough, he took all of our sins. Ultimate experience of poverty happened on the cross when he received all our sins. Why do I say it's a sin? Because in my opinion, hell is eternal poverty. He became the poorest of the poor when he received all of our sins, our past sins, present sin, and future sins. God is ultimately rich. What is a poor? Poverty. Absence of a rich, isn't it? Absence of a rich. Do we have any rich in our heart without Jesus Christ? We don't, because that's absence of rich. That means we are poor. We are the poorest. However, he took our sin away from us so that he may become the poorest of the poor. In my opinion, hell is, as I said before, eternal poverty and ultimately bankrupt. Because there's no presence of God. How did he do that? Why did he do that? So that we might become rich. Through him. Through his righteousness. Through his holiness. Let's continue in verse 10. I find the four hindrances why the people stopping from joyful giving. You might want to jot it down. four hindrances in the joyful giving. First one is procrastination. Second one is hesitation. Third one is overreaction. Fourth one is exception. Let's start with the procrastination. Procrastination. Verse 10. In this, I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. The dictionary defines procrastinate is to put off the intentionally, habitually. How many of you guys are procrastinator? Yeah, depends. Their motto is, why do things today that can be done next day? Right? And there also it can be said that procrastination it can be called as out of keeping up with yesterday. The procrastination is out of keeping up with yesterday. Do you know what is the favorite word for the procrastinators? Later or tomorrow. After tomorrow. Guess what? To the procrastinator, tomorrow never comes. Procrastinator, later never comes. Because to them, it's always later. Do you know how to break that thing? Do it now. When God is telling you to do something, and He tells you to do it now, don't postpone it. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. If God is telling you that you're going to start to memorize the Bible verses from today, you do it today, not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. And He tells you to pray, don't say, oh, I'll start on Monday. Do it today. Start today. This is a side story. If you really want to get the things done, prioritize your things and get the things done. What is the most important thing? Get that thing done and the rest of them, if it can be done tomorrow, do it tomorrow. That's not procrastination. That is organizing. There's a difference between procrastination and organization. Prioritizing. You cannot do everything every day unless you have 48 hours a day. If you do, spot me 5 hours a day. We don't have that kind of time. So you have to prioritize. Okay, let's continue. We must be careful not to confuse the difference between willing and doing. What is a willing and doing? Difference? Willing is a promise. Yeah, I'm willing to do it. And doing is performance. Willing cannot substitute doing. You get it? Promise cannot substitute what we're supposed to do. They have to go hands in hand together. If we promise something, guess what? As a man of word and as a woman of word, we should carry it through. We have to do it willingly. We have to do it joyfully. Okay, continuing in verse 11. Second hindrance is hesitation. Verse 11, let's look at the second part. That as there was a readiness to desire, and so there was also maybe completion out of what we have. Verse 12, for if there is a first in willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to one he does not have. Keep that in mind, please. Hesitation said, I'm not ready yet. Apostle Paul knows the Corinthian peoples are ready. And they are willing, so he's encouraging them to finish the job. God will bless you and bless us, whatever we have, whatever we can afford to give. He's not asking us to give something we don't have. He's telling us to give what we have. Share with other people what we have. Third hindrance is that we find in back in the verse 12. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to one he has, not according to what he does not have. This, again, this verse ties with the last three words, what you have, in verse 11. Some people say, well, I cannot give much, so I'm not going to do it. My little donation will not go a whole lot, so I'm not going to do it. It's not even a drop in the bucket. Is that true? God can multiply. God, as I said before, God is not looking for the amount. Do you know what God is looking for? The heart. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. If the amount matters, Jesus wouldn't say this. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now the Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put the money into the treasury. And many who were rich put it in the march. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciple to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had, all that she had, her whole livelihood. 2 mites. It's not a whole lot of money. If I'm understanding correctly, about $2. Not even that much. What that $2 can compare with the rest of people who have so much? Not a whole lot. But what it is? Her motivation, her heart. That's all she had, but she gave it to God, and God will multiply. The issue of giving is brought up to many, and they will ask, how much should I give? Should I tithe? If you look around in the Old Testament, New Testament, you will not find anywhere mentioned about tithing. Jesus mentioned about tithing because they are still living in that Old Testament law. But Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles did not mention anything about tithing. However, they mentioned about offering. Okay. So since the tithing is not mentioned, so we cannot really insist tithing and offering, but it's a kind of word that we use in the church often enough. Why do we still go by the tithing? It's a 10% known as. It's, in my opinion, it's a good benchmark. Let me set the principle first. What you have, what I have, is that yours or are they mine? Everything belongs to God, correct? Do we all agree? Everything belongs to God. We are allowed to use His money. We are allowed to be the steward of that money, to use that money to bring glory to Him. So what we return to Him is not really our money giving it to Him or loaning to Him. It's His money to start with. We are just putting back into His pocket. Why 10%? Since it's not a regulation, it's a proportional thing. In my opinion, it's a good benchmark. Some people, 10% is not enough. Because that person makes so much money, that person can live without 20-30%. If that's the case, be my guest. If that person cannot live with the 10% because it's so tight and you have to pay the bills, 5%, 2%, whatever. If you're giving it with a willing heart, joyful heart, then that is what you need to do. But if you think that, well, I'll give you $1 here, $20 here, that's not going to make any difference. I said this before, but it is worth repeating. How can you say, let's say you make $1,000. You need $950 to survive. So you have a $50 gap You can live without. If you put the $50 in the offering box, that's not really risk. That's not really trust. Am I making sense to you? However, if you choose to put that $100, then you need that $50 difference, correct? That's where the trust come in. I'm going to repeat this one more at the end of the teaching. You cannot really trust God unless you open up, you trust God with your finance. I'm going to explain to you a little bit later, a little bit more. Let's continue verse 13. And I do not mean that others should be easy. This is a next hindrance, the exception. For I do not mean that others should be eased and your burden. But by inequality, now that at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance also may supply your lack, that there be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. God is expecting every one of us to get involved in giving. Sometimes we think we should be exception. Why? Because I don't make enough money. No, there's no one. It should be exception. Is your name mentioned in the Bible that you are exception in giving? If your name is not mentioned in the Bible, I haven't found my name in Juno there other than my first page with my own name in the front. If it's not mentioned in your name in the Bible as exception, then you are all ought to give. Let's continue in verse 16. But thanks be to God who put the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus, and for he not only accepted exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. He didn't drive a cord, he just went a cord. And he who had, we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the church to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to show your ready mind. Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift, which is administered by us, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner, fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brother and I inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Jesus, glory of Christ. Therefore, show to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Grace giving is not a foolish giving. In the local churches, those who handle money should have some sort of qualification. In my opinion, this is a qualification I came up with. God, number one, they should have a God-given desire to serve. That's a must. Number two, burden for the lost soul. Number three, desire to honor God. Number four, reputation for honesty. Number five, and cooperative spirit. Number one, why did I say that they got to have a heart to serve? Well, that's obvious, isn't it? If they don't have a desire to serve, they shouldn't be in that position. Number two, the burden for the lost soul. How can a person who handles the money in the church don't have a burden for the soul and yet he is willing to release money for the missions? They cannot. If that person wants to just hold the money in the bank account so they can see all these zeros in the back of the number, that is not going to do any good. And that's the main reason why we spend over 25%, almost 30% of our church budget in the mission. Because we are looking for the soul more than the building itself. just side story. At the beginning of the 1 minute of truth program, I had a lot of objection from my own leadership too. Now, it's been going on for over a year. People are listening and people are paying attention. Not because I'm such a good expositor. God's word has been spoken to them. 5:16, 5:18, 5:19, that every afternoon, Monday through Friday, people are listening to that program. I was told that 25,000 people are listening in Tucson area and surrounding area. $70 a minute, I think it's worth it to me. And the money we send to the Bulgaria, money we send to the Nogales, Mexico, money we send to the Costa Rica, money we send to Jerusalem, they're all being used by the glory of God, for the glory of God. So your money is going out to spread the good news to the people. Can you top that? I don't think so. All right, let's continue. Let's make an application. Two applications. Number one, walking in grace without giving our treasure is incomplete. Walking in grace without giving our treasure is incomplete. What am I talking about? Everything we own has been given to us by God and to be used for His purpose. God certainly does not need our financial help, but He allows the privilege of participating in His work through our giving. If we don't share what we have, the richness of Jesus Christ with other people, we are hoarding. We should be called the church pigs. Let's share the what we have. Not just the wealth of knowledge of Jesus Christ and whatever we have to bring them to the Christ. Second application. Until we trust God with our finances, we really don't trust God. And you might say, where did you come up with that conclusion? Remember what you just said? You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve both. Either you serve God or you serve money, not both. If God is God, then serve Him. If money is God, go to Wall Street and have an ulcer. That's a good way to have an ulcer. Did you see how the stock market just dropped, steep diving, a couple days ago, and went the nose diving? And it will go up again, makes everybody happy, and next time it will go down again, make everybody nervous about it. It will be up and down all the time. But love of God is consistent. Let's stand up and pray.